Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're in the Gospel according to Luke, and looks like we're going to finish that up today. We're in the midst of the trial of the Messiah, the King of Israel, the King of the Yahudi, or as they were called in that day. And he has been sent to Pilate, and then Herod, now back to Pilate. And we pick up the narrative there in chapter 23. Well, about verse 11, let's just pick it up there. And Herod, with his men of war, had set him at naught and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends. Yes, we read that. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, "You have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you and have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him." So they were looking for the death sentence for the Messiah. They would not be pleased with anything less than the death sentence. "I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release unto them one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Could you imagine something like that happening today? Letting a murderer go because of a custom and crucifying an innocent man in his place? Well, it is fitting, the typology there, that a innocent man died for someone who was convicted of a murder. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again unto them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." Hey, we're just going to beat him up a little bit. "Well, I found nothing wrong with the man, but we're going to beat him up a little bit, then we'll let him go." You guys be happy with that? You know, just seeking to appease the crowd. And of course, they weren't happy with that. Of course, his accusers, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites, they weren't happy with that, because they didn't want him around, pulling people away from them, you know, performing miracles, healing on the Sabbath, and such things. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto him, to them, him that for sedition and for murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But when Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Of course, this is a reference to what's coming upon Jerusalem. "For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and blessed the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" Yes, if this is what they do in the good times, what are they going to do when times really get bad? Chapter 23, verse 32. "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Messiah, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also, which was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And there's a controversial statement, if ever there was one, because the skeptics would say, well, you know, if Jesus was 3 days in hell before he rose from the dead, how could this man be with him in paradise? And the answer is easy. If you've ever read Milton's Paradise or some spin-offs of that, you realize that paradise was a compartment in hell called Abraham's bosom. And so he could rightly say, this day, because they both died, and where would they go? Well, those that died in faith would be comforted in paradise, or Abraham's bosom, that compartment in hell. And of course, Yahshua tells the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And this parable, well, it wasn't a parable, he tells, because it was not a parable, distinct from a parable. But he tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and how the Lazarus died and he went to paradise, or Abraham's bosom, as it's told in the story, where he was comforted. And then across a great chasm, there was the rich man finally died, and he was in torment in this other part of hell or death. And, well, we read the story about that. So you see that, that day, that man could be with him in paradise, and he joined the other captives in paradise, because they were being held captive by death until the blood of the Messiah could be applied to their account. And we have the account of that day when Yahshua rose from the dead, that many of the saints of old came out of their graves and witnessed. So they went on to the resurrection when he set the captives free. And that's what the phrase in the scripture said when it talks about him setting the captives free. It's talking about him setting those that were captive by death, yet waiting in Abraham's bosom, or that place called paradise, where they were comforted, where they were not tormented, but they have a much greater reward coming because of their faith. So we continue here, and where Yahshua says to the man, Verily I say to thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So he did descend, of course, not to the place of torment, but to Abraham's bosom. And of course, death could not hold him, because it had no claim on him, because he had never sinned. So watch my video there on my website, crosstheborder.org, for a better explanation, a more in-depth explanation of what this is all about, of how his blood pays for our sins, why it was necessary for him to be born of a virgin, to be the second Adam, a new creation, to qualify to pay for our sins, to qualify to rise from the dead, not having the guilt of the blood, that guilt that is transmitted to every man who is a son of Adam, the original man. So it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth, even until the ninth hour. So, of course, it was the sixth hour of daylight, there being 12 hours in a day. They didn't keep a clock like we do, but they would divide the day. And, of course, they knew that the days were shorter in the winter and so on. But it was about the sixth hour, and this would have been a long day. Probably about the, it was about the time of the Passover, wasn't it? As a matter of fact, it was right after the Passover. So if it was about the sixth hour, it would have been about comparable to what we call noon today, if it was about the sixth hour of the day. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So you'd have noon to about 3 p.m. A darkness came over. So, I mean, this is in the middle of very long and very bright days like we're having today, okay? Because, like I said, we know what time of year it was. It was right after the Passover, and the Passover was the first month of the Creator's calendar. It was in the first month of the Creator's calendar, which was in the spring, because the first month of the Creator's calendar was governed by, one, the new moon, and secondly, the harvest of the winter wheat was coming to full in the bud. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And here we have another account, a confirmation that the veil in the temple was rent. He put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the middle of the week. That was the sign that the priest temple sacrificial system was brought to an end. And of course, they would have national Israel not accepting their Messiah as a nation. They would have gone in there and they would have repaired the veil in the temple and continued on with their sacrifice. But he brought an end to it. After that, it would be an abomination, because he was the sacrifice once for all. Of course, read and you get out your New Testament and read the book of Hebrews, and all of you, you so-called Jews out there, or whatever tribe you're of or not of, who follow the, some form of Judaism, get out the book of Hebrews and read it. And read Matthew too. You don't have to read the rest. Read Matthew, read the book of Hebrews, because they are specifically for you. If you're practicing Judaism and you're somewhat of a, what would they call it? Fundamentalist in the Torah, in the, scripture only type. You would definitely want to read the book of the gospel according to Matthew, and definitely would want to read the book called Hebrews. And if those make you a believer, well, then you read the rest of it, because it's all for you then. So the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. And this goes to the prophecy of the 70th week of Daniel, that in the midst of the week, he, that is the Messiah, put an end to the sacrifice, the oblation and the sacrifice, because he became the sacrifice once and for all when he said, "It is finished." And he cried with a loud voice and he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw that was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote on their breasts and returned, and all of his acquaintances, and the women that followed him from Galilee and stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them, saying he wasn't for what happened to Yahshua. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. So what does this mean? You have people that are waiting for the kingdom of God, and he was a counselor. That means that he was studying the scripture. He was intently counting the years of Daniel's prophecy. He knew that Yahshua was the Messiah. He came at the right time. He fulfilled all the prophecies. And here he was in the midst of the 70th week, being cut off, not for himself, but for the people. The veil in the temple, he would have got the report about the veil in the temple being rent from top to bottom. This could not have escaped anybody having anything to do with faith in Israel and in and about the temple. The word would have got out as soon as they found out that the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. They know. They had temple guard. No one could go in there and rent that veil. And besides, it was so thick, it would be like you taking a ream of paper, if you know what a ream of paper is. It's a package of paper. I forget how many sheets are a ream, but 100, I guess, maybe. And try ripping that. That's what it would be like. It would be physically impossible for you to rip that veil in the temple. It was a thick felt like that. But it was rent from top to bottom. And nobody was able to sneak in there and do it. And the word would have got out, because the veil that to replace that veil in the temple would not be something that could be done in secret. And like I said, as soon as someone found out, the word would have got out. But I'm sure that they replaced the veil in the temple, but it did put an end to the sacrifice and oblation, at least temporarily, physically, but it put an end to it permanently in the eyes of our Heavenly Father, in the eye for the purpose that he had set up. The priest temple sacrificial system was ended right there in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, right there when the Messiah said, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, said, to thy hands I commend my spirit, and gave up the ghost. And everyone beholding these things, and especially this man named Joseph of Arimathea, who had not consented, and it says he waited for the kingdom of God. So there were plenty of faithful, righteous men in Israel, even though a remnant, there were thousands of them, because the population, of course, in 490 years of them back in the land, the population of Israel would grow to tens of millions by this time. So to have thousands and tens of thousands faithfully waiting would not take a stretch of the imagination. And this is all history. So, and we can count on it as much as we can count on, and even more than we can count on most other history out there. We continue here. This man, Joseph, speaking of Joseph of Arimathea, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Yahshua, Jesus. He took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never a man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and a certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Yahshua, the Messiah. And you know, you have people that want to argue whether it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and they have this argument. But you know, the argument isn't that. The argument is you go to the Creator's calendar, which I have posted a graphic image of the Creator's calendar, and specifically the first month, and you look at that calendar, you find the Passover, and then you find the the Sabbath after the Passover, and then the first day of the week after that Passover. And there's the calendar we're looking at. There is no Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Sunday on that calendar. And this, the, what we experience as a 7-day cycle of those days were not even in effect then. Plus the calendar had 10 days added to it by the Pope, somewhere in between now and then, you know. So the cycle is off even. So this whole argument and debate about Thursday, Friday, and what day of the week, it's all nonsense. Go to my calendar at crosstheborder.org there. You'll see a link that says, what month is it? And scroll down and you'll see a graphic there of the Creator's calendar. And now fit the Passover, the first day of the week, the Sabbath that is all being talked about here into that. And you'll have a good idea. That'll put an end to all the debates, I believe, because the scripture ends all the debates. I'll be back in a few minutes, and we're going to conclude the Gospel according to Luke.